Item 14, Deer General Seasons and Special Permits. This is a briefing with a public hearing. Brock, thank you for your patience. You got the next two agenda items, sir.
Looks good, Brock.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my participant screen back up so I can see folks. All right, that's just going to have to work. All right, thank you, Chair Carpenter. Good morning, I'm Brock Hanus, Ungulate Section Manager. We're going to be talking about deer general seasons and special permits. So just two whacks in this one. We have one whack that covers our general seasons and then another whack that covers our special permits. I'm going to do this one a little bit differently. I'm going to present just an overarching summary of public comment. Then we'll go through recommendations that aren't specific to a particular deer management zone. Then I'll go through kind of zone by zone, status updates, recommendations, and then summary of comments that were specific to a particular zone. And then we'll have time at the end for questions. So public comment for our general seasons. We had 1,861 respondents to our online survey. 56% of respondents indicated support of the proposals. 23% were opposed. We received 370 comments through our online survey, as well as 13 written communications, either by email or as a letter. Major themes from the comments that we received were related to antler point restrictions for white-tailed deer in the Northeast. We had a lot of comment that was expressing concern about predators, length of the white-tailed deer season in the Northeast. Antlerless harvest, that was both, those comments included folks that were opposed to reductions, as well as others that thought there should be more opportunity or thought there should be even further reductions. And then we had comments that were related to proposals in kind of the eastern portion of the Columbia Basin, which is GMUs 127, 142. We'll cover that in more detail and break those comments down. The same for GMU 124. And then we had a general theme, which is often the case where folks are advocating for more opportunity. For special permit WAC, we had 1,820 respondents to our online survey. 65% indicated agreement, only 11% opposed. We received 147 comments through that survey. We also received three emails and letters with comment. Major themes from our special permit WAC were concerns about access to private land on the islands in the Puget Sound. Again, there's that proposal for GMUs 127 to 142. We'll cover that in more detail. Antlerless harvest in our special permit WAC, it was very similar. Some folks advocated for further reductions, some advocated for more. We got general promotion for either increasing opportunity or decreasing it, but not necessarily specific to an area. And then we had comments that were promoting for more opportunity for youth, senior, and disabled. And then again, some comments that were expressing concerns about predators. So deer general seasons, WAC, we had, that's not specific. These are proposals that aren't specific to a particular management zone. We adjusted season dates to align with the calendar year. We removed references to deer species and legal deer in the legal deer description to eliminate redundancies and simplify the WAC table. We had an administrative change to clarify that GMU 157 is closed to deer hunting. That had actually been closed to deer hunting for, I think, 7 or 8 years now. It was just missed in the WAC in the section where we list the GMUs that are closed. So we had to fix that. Open GMUs 247, 254, 262, 266, and 269 during the early whitetail deer muzzleloader season for any buck. These are GMUs where whitetail occur. They're in very low densities. They're not even identified as being part of a whitetail deer management zone. So, and whitetail is not a priority in these areas. So we tend to offer very general season, very liberal seasons and opportunities. And this was just opening those GMUs to be consistent with that, with other areas. Deer special permits. Again, these are recommendations that are not directly related to a management zone per se. We adjusted season dates again to align with the calendar year. We adjusted special permit numbers via special permit allocation formula. This is done for hunts where the only opportunity is through a special permit. These live in our quality and buck categories. They occur in 8 GMUs and consist of 24 hunts. And these are generally deer hunts where you're getting to hunt, you know, later in the season, where it's more likely that you're going to find a mature animal. And these are presented as recommended adjustments in your packets. And the reason is because we did not have, we need our special permit harvest statistics before we can adjust the formula. And that was not available prior to us filing the CR-102. We created a new quality permit for modern firearm hunters in GMU 136 for a 3-point minimum mule deer or whitetail deer with season dates of November 1st through the 24th. We did receive some comments specific to this proposal. One commenter was advocating for a 4-point antler point restriction. Two were just general comments expressing opposition. And then another comment that felt it should be in the buck category and not in the quality category. And then we also reduced the number of master hunter permits for designated areas in Region 1 from 20 to 10. So we're going to start with black-tailed deer, and we're going to start with the South Cascades. So one thing I want to do is just orient folks to the figure I have up here real quick. I've done this in the past, but this graph will be in several slides, so I want to interpret it for you first. So this is showing general season deer harvest in this particular zone since 2006. The solid gray line is the 10-year average. And then that dashed line that sits below the solid line is representing the 25% below the 10-year average. And this is related to our definition of an at-risk ungulate population, which states that an ungulate population is considered at risk if harvest has fallen at least 25% below the 10-year average for 2 consecutive years. Okay, so starting with black-tailed deer in the South Cascades. So the only recommendations here were for special permits. We had no changes, recommended adjustments to general seasons. These are really minor adjustments. We propose to replace the 5 modern firearm hunters with disabilities permits for any buck in GMU 485 with 5 youth permits. These are presented in your packet as a recommended adjustment. So this is the Green River Watershed, GMU 585 or 485. It's limited access. We set hunting opportunities in that GMU in collaboration with the Muckleshoot Indian Tribe. And the agreement is that every other year, we will provide these permits for either disabled, and then the next year it'll be youth, and then it goes back to disabled. And those meetings and conversations did not happen till mid-February after we filed the CR-102, so that's why they're presented as a recommended adjustment. We're proposing to reduce the number of modern firearm youth permits for antlerless deer in 554 from 5 to 3, increase the number of modern firearm youth permits for antlerless in GMU 556 from 10 to 15, and reduce the number of hunter education instructor incentive permits for any deer in 500 series GMUs from 4 to 3. So the islands management zone, general season proposal. So our big management issue on the islands, we've talked about this before, is we have very high deer numbers, and it's a constant challenge trying to manage damage complaints and issues with private landowners. We're always trying to figure out ways to reduce deer numbers on a lot of those islands. Our first general season proposal, though, is related to, I presented to the commission yesterday that Henry and Stewart Islands are going to be their standalone GMUs. So we established general seasons on those islands. For special permits, historically what we've had in those GMUs that are listed here, historically what we have had are specific special permit seasons for archery, for muzzleloader, and for modern firearm. And they all had their specific season dates like we traditionally see. A few years ago on Vashon Island, we shifted that approach to one season, a special permit season. It's good for any weapon type. So you can use archery, muzzleloader, or modern firearm. And it runs from August 1st to December 31st. And we have the local staff feel like that has been more successful. So we're going to that same model on other island GMUs as well. And then we're proposing to reduce the number of modern firearm second deer permits for antlerless deer on Anderson Island, which is GMU 655, from 40 to 30. So public comment specific to these proposals, we got eight general statements that were expressing agreement. We got a lot of comment expressing concern about being able to get access to private lands. We recognize that. Our staff continue to work with private landowners trying to come up with creative solutions to that issue. But in the meantime, all we can do to try to assist with this issue is provide as much opportunity as we can. We had one comment that didn't feel like we should open it August 1st. It was too early and there'd be potential conflict with other recreationists. We had a comment about concerns about using modern firearms on the islands. And then we had one suggestion that was, why don't you make the second deer opportunity an over-the-counter opportunity rather than special permits? So shifting to mule deer.
Brock, may I ask you a question about the islands?
Yeah, go ahead.
Are you considering modern firearms as shotgun with slugs? I hunted deer in the islands, I don't know, 30 years ago, and if my memory serves me correctly, it was a shotgun only. You couldn't use modern firearms if you're talking about a rifle. Could you clarify that for me?
I would actually have to check, Chair Carpenter. I don't know what the firearm restrictions are on the islands, and I'm not familiar. I think they probably vary from island to island, if I had to guess.
Well, I would be a little bit concerned about high-powered rifles in many parts of the islands, but we can talk about that next week if that works for you.
Yeah, and I can definitely check with staff. I know our staff are aware of it. You know, one of the things that I've been working with them on, they asked a question about should we be making Hunter Orange mandatory for anybody that's hunting out there, given that these seasons now overlap, and you could have somebody with a firearm hunting at the same time someone with archery equipment is hunting. And so we're having those discussions actively right now.
Thank you.
Okay, so now we're going to shift mule deer. We're going to start down in the Blue Mountains. Our most recent estimates indicate 15 to 22,000 mule deer. Populations have increased slightly and been stable after experiencing a substantial decline in 2016. Buck to doe ratios are at objective. Our fawn to doe ratios have consistently hovered around that long-term average of 55 to 60 per 100. And we developed our recommendations for the mule deer Blue Mountains management zone with the objective of reducing antlerless harvest a little bit further so we can get those populations back up to where they were prior to that decline. So our recommendations, the first one was kind of general. It's to remove all the hunts and references to deer area 1021 and 1040, since these deer areas are being eliminated. We talked about that yesterday. For general seasons, we're proposing to remove opportunities for archery hunters to harvest antlerless deer during the early archery season in GMUs 154 and 162. For special permits, we're proposing to remove modern firearm antlerless permits in GMU 181. And then in GMU 145, we're proposing to add a muzzleloader antlerless permit hunt with 15 permits. And I'm going to have the public comments scattered throughout the presentation, highlighted in blue, and there's no blue text here because we didn't get any specific public comment that was specific to these proposals. So moving to the Columbia Plateau, our most recent estimates indicate we have 30 to 45,000 mule deer within this management zone. Our buck to doe ratios are at objective. Our fawn to doe ratios have been similar, again, to the long-term average. In this zone, we usually are in the range of 65 to 70 fawns for every 100 does. Overall, the population has been increasing following declines in 2015 and 2016, but deer numbers within the very eastern portion of the zone have not fully recovered and to levels prior to that 2015 reduction. So we developed recommendations with the objective of promoting population growth in that eastern portion of the zone. So for general seasons, this included removing opportunities for archery hunters to harvest antlerless deer during the early season in GMUs 127, 130, 133, and 136, eliminating the late muzzleloader season for antlerless deer in GMU 130, and then for our within the special permits, increase the number of modern firearm permits for antlerless deer in GMU 290 from 80 to 12 or 8 to 12. That's actually not a, the desert unit is separate from this. That's not directly related to our efforts to reduce antlerless harvest in the eastern portion. Within the second deer antlerless special permit category, we're proposing to reduce the number of modern firearm permits across the eastern portion of the management zone that can be used to harvest a mule deer from 775 to 610. So to clarify right now, those 775 permits, they were not specific to either whitetail or mule deer. It was just an antlerless deer. So we're splitting those, and we'll see this again when we get to our whitetail recommendations. We're now splitting those permits out and specifying whether hunters can target a mule deer or a whitetail deer. We are also proposing to reduce the number of permits in GMU 127 for archery hunters from 75 to 5, but add 70 permits for mule deer across the eastern portion of the management zone to offset some of the opportunity lost by removing the general season opportunity. Reduce the number of muzzleloader permits across the eastern portion of the management zone that can be used to harvest a mule deer from 75 to 30. And remove special permits for hunters with disabilities in GMU 284 for antlerless deer. And we received no comment that was specific to this proposal for mule deer. We did receive comments for white-tailed deer, and when we get to the white-tailed deer segment, we'll cover that. So for the East Columbia Gorge, we have no formal estimates of abundance yet in this deer zone. Populations has remained stable following declines in 2015 and 2016. However, this herd does meet the criteria of an at-risk ungulate population. In February, we've radio collared 80 adult females. And we're hoping that will provide us with more insight into what are some of the factors that are contributing to the slow recovery that we're seeing in this zone, despite the fact that we've removed all antlerless harvest, with exception to we have one single recommendation for this zone, and it's to remove, eliminate the opportunities for archery hunters to harvest antlerless deer during the early season in GMUs 382 and 388. That is the only remaining opportunity in this zone currently to harvest antlerless deer. And for perceptions about equity, they don't harvest a lot of antlerless deer during that season. But since that opportunity has been removed for virtually all other user groups, we felt it was appropriate to do it for that season as well. Received no specific comments to these proposals. So mule deer moving to the northern Rocky zone, which is the northeast part of the state. Mule deer occur throughout, but in low numbers. White-tailed deer are our management priority within this zone. We have no formal surveys for mule deer, and our only recommendation for mule deer in this zone is to remove opportunities for archery hunters to harvest antlerless mule deer in GMU 124 during the early general season. And this is related to, you'll see when we move to whitetail deer, we're trying to reduce antlerless harvest there for whitetail in 124. And so we did it for mule deer as well to make it just clear for hunters. So I do want to take a break because we're going to and offer a brief opportunity for questions, because whitetail deer is where most of our recommendations are. And I'd hate to lose kind of the train of thought that commissioners might have right now, you know, related to black-tailed deer and mule deer.
Commissioner Thorburn, Commissioner McIsaac, and Commissioner Anderson, in that order, please.
Thank you, Brock, and Chair Carpenter. So mule deer and white-tailed deer compete somewhat for habitat, is my understanding, where they overlap. Do we use harvest at all to try and minimize that competition where habitat is more prime, say, for whitetail and more prime for mule deer?
No, I don't think we do. So, for example, in the Northeast where we have, you know, very high whitetail deer numbers and mule deer occur in low numbers, and even though we identify whitetail deer as our management priority, we are not actively trying to, we don't actively put seasons in place with the objective of, you know, restricting the mule deer population from growing further.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Thorburn. Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two questions. One of them is on the slide that has the Columbia Plateau recommendations. I don't see a number on that, but could you scroll back to that one? Maybe it was, yeah, that's it. So this is a question, a general question about your rationale for allocating between muzzleloader, archery, and modern firearm permits. And my second question has to do with a point system. So in this slide here, for antlerless, it looks like there's a reduction in the firearm permits, there's a reduction in the archery permits, and there's a reduction in the muzzleloader permits. But in the archery permits, there's some added back in. And so I just wonder if you could talk a little bit about your rationale as you try to look at fairness between however the allocations have been or meant to be on this muzzleloader, archery, firearm allocation question. My other question, I'll just blurt it out, is WAC 220.412.080, which is a point system adjustment, which I didn't see in here. I don't see it under elk. I don't know if it comes up in whitetails later. It's a question of where does that end up showing up? So those are my two questions.
So adding the archery permits, we really didn't take, from the special permit perspective, we really didn't take away any opportunity. There was already 75, and they were all just in one GMU. And so we spread those out. When we set the antlerless permits, those don't go through an allocation formula. If our allocation objectives don't result in meeting our objectives, we will have to revisit these special permit opportunities now that we've removed the general seasons for archery hunters in those GMUs. To your point about the point system, can you clarify? I'm not quite following what you mean by the point system and how that's considered here. You're muted, Commissioner McIsaac.
Okay, well, that doesn't quite get my questions out when I'm muted, does it? Thanks to Well, anyway, so the question on the point system is this. That's part of the three-year package, and it's WAC 220-412-080 that talks about some revisions in the point systems with regard to people who don't use their points because they can't or for some other reason. And I don't see that in this deer presentation. I don't see it in the elk presentation, and I don't know where it's at. Is there, am I missing that, or should we be talking about that here, or when does that come up?
So are you referring to the change that we're going to make that allows so a successful applicant to return their permit and have their points restored?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, yes.
Yeah, so we covered that yesterday. It was included with bighorn, mountain goat, and moose in that presentation, and it was the first thing, and that's where I mentioned that that would apply for all big game special permits and not just for, you know, moose, bighorn. It was just wasn't a good place, you know, logical place. Where do we stick that? And I chose to stick it on the first presentation that, you know, covered special permits.
Thank you very much.
But yes, it would apply for deer and elk permits as well.
Does that wrap up your questions, Commissioner McKenzie?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, it does. Yeah.
Thank you for that. Commissioner Anderson, please.
Yes, a couple of questions. One just, or maybe one question, but one note is that in the, I think it's the East Columbia Gorge, the mule deer numbers meets a criteria of at-risk ungulate populations. And then that's the same East Columbia Gorge area that we just were talking about vis-a-vis Klickitat County and the cougar population. So it's an interesting two different perspectives with regard to excessive reduction of cougars, or at least by some is seen as that, and then also a decrease or significant drop in ungulate populations. And it just goes to show, I think, the difficulty of game management and that there are many factors at play in different ways. The question I have is population numbers in the Olympic Peninsula blacktail. And that was not discussed in the presentation. Many other areas were. And I'm under the impression that the population in that those game management units are somewhat depressed, and trying to get a clarification on that particular issue.
Okay, so I should have prefaced my presentation with, for the sake of brevity and, you know, trying to stay within the 20 slide limit, I am only summarizing the status of deer populations where we made recommended changes and recommended adjustments. So I did not cover the Olympic Peninsula Blacktail Deer Management Zone because we are not proposing to make any changes to general seasons or the special permit opportunities. What I will say is for our blacktail deer populations, I don't have the Olympics figure pulled up right now, but our harvest on the Olympics at the zonal level has been very, very consistent in almost every blacktail deer management zone that we've had, that we identify. We identify four zones, and I'm just going to pull up the South Cascades. Very stable harvest, 2006 to 2016. Then we see a sharp decline in harvest, and we've seen subsequent increases in harvest the last 3 years. I know that trend is the same for the Olympic Peninsula. At a zonal level, we're back up where our 10-year mean has been, our 10-year average.
Okay.
There are some specific game management units, I think, where harvest has declined, but there's also other areas where it's increased.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Okay, Brock, I guess that wraps up mule deer for the day.
Okay, moving into white deer, we'll start down in the southeast in the Blue Mountains. We conduct pre-hunt ground surveys to monitor this herd. Buck to doe ratios have been an objective. Our fawn to doe ratios vary widely from year to year, but have been similar to the long-term average of about 50 per 100.
Rock, if I may interrupt, I see Anish has his hand up.
Oh, yeah, please help, because something with my...
Yeah.
I can't see everybody.
Thank you, Commissioner. Rock, just to clarify, since you talked about the peninsula, you also did not cover the Okanagan mule deer. That's because there's no recommended changes. Is that correct as well?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify that for folks that were maybe, you know, wondering why.
Yeah, I wish I could fix my screen here, but I don't know how to get everybody back up where I can see you, but we'll move on. All right, so we have no recommended changes for white-tailed deer in the Blue Mountains for general seasons. The general seasons will remain the same. For special permits, we're proposing to remove special permit hunts that were associated with Deer Area 1040. Again, we covered the removal of that deer area yesterday. Proposed to remove modern firearm second deer antlerless permits in GMU 154. And remove modern firearms second deer permits for antlerless deer in Deer Area 1010. Received no public comment that was specific to those proposals. So white-tailed deer in the Columbia Basin, they occur in very low numbers. By definition, they do meet the criteria of an at-risk ungulate population, but mule deer are the management priority in the Columbia Basin. We don't conduct any formal surveys. Only recommendation for white-tailed deer in this zone is to change the season dates for the late general archery season for white-tailed deer in GMU 373 to November 20th to December 8th. That's presented as a recommended adjustment because the initial change by the biologists, there was a typo. So, and the intent here is to overlap this season with a mule deer season that occurs within that GMU. So white-tailed deer in the Palouse zone, it's managed as two subherds north and south of the Snake Rivers. The Snake River mule deer are priority south of the Snake River. North of the Snake River, we do ground surveys. Buck-to-doe ratios have been an objective. Fawn-to-doe ratios have been similar to the long-term average, hovering around 50 per 100. And we developed recommendations with the objective of promoting population recovery. So we observed substantial declines in this zone in 2015 and 2016. And then as well in 2019, our harvest declined again. We were still harvesting between the range of 500 and 700 antlerless white-tailed deer across this zone within the last, recent years. In 2019, we dropped below that 25%. Below the long-term average. So our recommendations were with the objective of reducing antlerless harvest by approximately 70%. So for general seasons, we propose to remove opportunities for senior and disabled hunters to harvest antlerless deer during general modern firearm season in GMUs 127 through 142. Propose to retain the general season opportunities for youth hunters, but shorten the season length to 7 days rather than allowing them to harvest antlerless deer during the entire season. Propose to remove opportunities for archery and muzzleloader hunters to harvest antlerless deer during the early general season in GMUs 127 through 142. Within the special permits, in the quality and buck categories, reduce the number of buck special permits in GMUs 127 through 142 from 750 to 650. And this is in response to the reductions that we've seen in the population. Within the antlerless category, remove modern firearm and muzzleloader permits for antlerless deer in GMUs 145 and 149. Within the second deer antlerless category, reduce the number of modern firearm permits across the zone that can be used to harvest a white-tailed deer from 790 to 90. So again, this is similar to what I talked about in the mule deer proposals. Those 790 permits could have been used to harvest a whitetail deer or a mule deer. We are now clarifying that 90 of permits, and you can only harvest target a whitetail deer with those permits. Special permits continued again within the second deer antlerless category. We're proposing to reduce archery permits in 127 from 775 to 5, but add 35 permits across the zone. Propose to reduce muzzleloader permits across the zone that can be used to harvest a whitetail deer from 85 to 30. And then within the senior and disabled special permit categories, we're proposing to add special permits across the zone for senior and disabled hunters. And this is to offset some of the opportunity that was lost by removing the general season opportunities. So public comment that we received that were, you know, specific to this proposal, we had 14 comments that just expressed general agreement, 12 that expressed general opposition, one specific comment not to remove antlerless harvest in 127, three comments that thought we should remove all antlerless harvest given the status of this whitetail deer numbers within the zone, and then one comment advocating for a 4-point antler point restriction in GMU 139. So moving to the northeast, the whitetail Selkirk whitetail deer management zone. This includes GMUs 105, 108, 111, 113, 117, and 121, as well as 124. I know GMUs 105 and 121 are commonly referred to as Northeast Washington. They've been a hot topic. Whitetail deer management issues have been a hot topic there. But within the Selkirk management zone, it also includes 124. 124 is oftentimes, we manage it differently because we have much more potential for conflicts with private landowners within that GMU. And so we tend to offer more liberal seasons and more special permits for antlerless deer within that zone than we do GMUs 105 through 121. I only presented the harvest figures for the entire Selkirk zone because whether we break that down by GMUs 105 through 121 or 124, the trend is almost exactly the same. So preseason ground surveys are completed within both areas. Our buck to doe ratios consistently range 25 to 30. In 2020, our fawn to doe ratio in GMUs 105 through 121 was actually 60 per 100. And this is the highest fawn to doe ratio that we've seen on that survey in more than a decade. So we're really excited about that. Our fawn to doe ratio in 124 was 54 to 100. Deer numbers have declined across the zone. We removed recreational antlerless harvest in GMUs 105 through 121 in 2019, but we had not made reductions in 124. So our recommendations within the Selkirk management zone were focused on addressing hunters' interest to manage for more mature bucks in GMUs 105 through 121. We had a special meeting with the Wildlife Committee to talk about that. And we did that by proposing a standard 9-day season. We'll cover that a little bit more. And then we proposed, we really wanted to reduce antlerless harvest in GMU 124 to promote population recovery. So again, that first proposal to shorten the general late modern firearm season to a standard 9-day season with season dates of November 11th through 19th. So I added this table in here for comparison because I know it's kind of confusing. Our current kind of status quo is the season always ends on the 19th and we open it on whatever Saturday we need to ensure that there's two full weekends for hunters to hunt. That would have resulted in season dates of November 6th through the 19th in 2021 and November 5th through the 19th in 2022. And in 2023, it would have been November 11th through 19th. Our second proposal, remaining proposals are focused on GMU 124. So for general seasons, we're proposing to remove opportunities for senior and disabled hunters to harvest antlerless deer during general modern firearm seasons, propose to remove opportunities to harvest antlerless deer during the archery and muzzleloader seasons, and then for special permits, proposing to reduce the number of second deer permits for antlerless deer. And that proposal is summarized in the table below. And then we're proposing to add special permits for senior and disabled hunters, to offset some of the opportunity that will be lost with the removal of general seasons. So public comment, specific to GMUs 105 through 121 and the proposal to go to a standard 9-day season, we received 158 comments in total that were specific to these GMUs. We received 45 comments that were opposed to the 9-day season. We only received 3 comments that supported it. Additional comments were to remove the late season entirely, one comment to actually increase it. And then, although we did not have proposals specific to antler point restrictions, we received 64 comments advocating for antler point restrictions and 27 in opposition. And then we received comments related to doe harvest, even though, as I stated, we had already removed opportunities to harvest antlerless deer in these GMUs. So our recommendation today is for this specific proposal is that we retain the current late season dates that close the season on the 19th and ensure two full weekends. So our primary reasons why we want to make that recommendations, our primary intent by doing that was to get more input from the public at the request of the commission related to possibly implementing a shorter season. It was not for any biological reason. We did not feel that there's a biological or conservation need to manage for more mature whitetail bucks. We didn't feel like we got a lot of comment through this process on that specific proposal. And then when we specifically surveyed whitetail deer hunters last summer and had 13,000 respondents, 93% indicated opposition to a shorter season approach. So specific to GMU 124, most of our comments were just expressing general agreement or disagreement. And then we had one comment that was advocating for retaining the 6 senior general season opportunities. So with that, I think we're at questions.
Any questions from the commission? Commissioner Kuntz, please. You need to unmute yourself, Fred.
Keep forgetting that, sorry. Brock, I'm sorry, I don't really understand that very last part about the 14 days, 15 days, and 9-day seasons. Wouldn't you expect a biological effect if you had a 9-day season rather than a 15-day season? You said there was no biologic reason. It was just a, survey.
Yeah, so we don't see a biological or conservation need to manage for more mature bucks. Would shortening the season from 14 or 15 days to 9 days? Yeah, it seems intuitive that you might reduce harvest, but that comes... we got this question after we met with the wildlife committee, and we had a constituent email us with a question of, what's your prediction on the percentage that buck harvest would be reduced? All we could say is that 50%, I think, was the number of the buck harvest occurs before November 11th. Whether or not that same harvest would occur by shortening the season, you don't know, because those hunters that harvested before the 11th, they may still be successful after the 11th. So it's hard to predict that.
Did that answer your question, Commissioner Koontz?
I guess, but then why not just have a 15-day season every year?
Commissioner Thorburn, if I may, I see Anise has his hands up. Perhaps some clarification, then I'll go to you, if I may.
Certainly.
Yeah, when we say there's no biological reason to do it, we mean that the buck-to-doe ratio is already sufficient for biological reasons. So to increase buck-doe ratio by one or two or three bucks per 100 does is not going to be a population level effect on the population. Obviously, if you increase seasons, you will harvest more bucks. But currently, we are not concerned about the number of bucks in the population.
But aren't we concerned about the number of deer in the region?
We are, but the hunting season is buck only. We removed all of the antlerless harvest.
Oh, and there's
plenty of bucks in the population.
Okay, gotcha.
Thank you, Anise. Commissioner Thorburn, please.
I was wondering if Brock, you want to explain a little bit more about why the APR was not selected, since we got a lot of comment on the APR restriction in response to the recommendation. We covered this extensively, I know, in the Wildlife Committee, but it might be worthwhile to just discuss it for the entire commission.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, on the topic of antler point restrictions, I mean, we started that really, we contracted with Washington State University to survey white-tailed deer hunters specifically. We did that in the summer. We got about 13,000 respondents, and there was clear opposition. About 70% of respondents were opposed to a 4-point antler point restriction. We still carried the antler point restriction options forward into our 3-year package public survey, in the fall. Only about 20% of respondents indicated support for a 4-point. We were still hearing from constituents that there was an interest for managing for more white-tailed deer, mature bucks in the white-tailed deer population in the Northeast. So staff kind of went back. We came up with a list of options, different ways that we might go about trying to manage for more mature white-tailed bucks. We brought that to the Wildlife Committee of the Commission on January 7th. They considered all those different options. A lot of those options we didn't advocate as a recommendation because they were really big changes from status quo. And we did not feel like we had done our due diligence to get public input on all those different options. The Wildlife Committee considered those. They considered the antler point option, and ultimately they recommended that we propose the standard 9-day season to gather more input on the issue.
Now, if I can get my mute off, thank you. Any other questions from commissioners? Okay. Next, Brock.
I think, say that again.
Do you have anything else?
Oh, no, I'm good. Yep.
You're done with your presentation.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. That was well done. Nikki, would you do the intro on the open public comment section and tell me how many people we have, please?
Sure. We'll now take public comments from registered attendees. As a reminder, everyone receives 3 minutes for comment unless the allotted time is modified by the chair at the onset of the agenda item. Everyone is currently muted. When it's your turn to speak, you will be recognized by your partial phone number or your Zoom username and will be unmuted by staff. We've got 8 folks wanting to give comment. I'm going to start with Mark Alberts, followed by Mike Hertz. Go ahead, Mark.
All right. Good morning again. Thank you for the presentation. I'll keep my comments brief. I think it's a very transparent process you guys are going through. It's very refreshing to see that you turn to the data when you're setting these seasons and bag limits. And I think you're doing a great job. So thank you so much for your presentation.
Thank you, Mike, for your comments. Next, Nikki.
I'm looking for him. Okay, I don't see Mike Hertz on here. Mike, if you're on, raise your hand. If you're not popping up, I'm going to move on to Martha Hall. I don't see Martha either. Okay, we'll go to Bob. Bob Harriman, go ahead, sir.
Morning, commissioners. Bob Harriman here with Borderline. We agree to keep the antlers whitetail reductions in the Northeast. I think that's a good idea, and our club feels that way. Harvest shows a good range of bucks in with spikes all the way to 4 point and over, and 4 point and better harvests are showing better than any other areas of Washington. We are in favor of no change or having APRs. We are against especially 4 point or better in any part of these units, or for that matter, in any other areas of the Washington state. I always feel that when you get into higher multiple points, that deer turns its head. It is a hard regulation. I've hunted in 4 point areas in Montana. It wasn't called for by the state of Montana. It was called through the landowner. And that was one of the hardest hunts I ever had in Montana. And that makes another point that I like to make to the commission. When you guys set the rules and regulations for deer or elk and whatever size number of horns or number of animals or whatever that is, each landowner that owns private land in the Northeast can set a higher harvest problem or resistance, I guess, to their individual lands. They cannot set less than what the department, if I'm making myself clear. What I'm trying to say is private individuals and private landowners, if they want 4 point and better on their property, they can say so when they get permission to the people that hunt on their property. That is all within the law. So a lot of these that want a 4 point and better over in East Washington, a lot of that hunting is done on private land. So those individual landowners can set their rates for hunting on their private property. Now, they can't set a lesser rate than the department because that would be against the law, but they can set a higher rate. So saying that they can't get this over there is not true. The other thing is, I think the department is doing a very good job at managing these areas. I specifically, and other members in our club, when we go over there, I bought land over there specifically. I've been an owner over there for over 15 years because it didn't have APRs put on it. It's a good place to go hunting. We show the numbers. Now, I understand the populations of whitetail are down. I understand that. But at the same time, the harvest rates and on that particular northeast corner is still better than any other place in the state of Washington. I'm very happy that they're doing this. And that's why we still want to keep antlers, because we know populations are down. Thank you very much for your dedication.
Thank you for your comments today, Bob.
Okay, next we've got Al Martz, followed by Dale Maggart. Go ahead, Al. You should unmute yourself.
Okay, my name's Al Martz. I'm co-chairman of the Northeast Washington Wildlife Group, and I want to thank the commission and director for allowing me to speak today. My first comment is on what was a 9-day season change proposed for Northeast Washington. This has changed 3 times from the original 8 days approved by the Wildlife Committee. The The agency rationale regarding comments says the department will present a recommended adjustment that would retain the current season structure. Recommended adjustment that would retain the current season structure. I still don't understand that. The season change the Northeast Washington Wildlife Group wanted was a 4-point APR to conserve the deer harvest. So yearling sub-adult deer, which are 52% of the harvest, can become 2.5-year-old adults. It was said that we got what we wanted, but not what we asked for. This is not true at all. The Northeast Washington Wildlife Group does not support shortening the late whitetail season. All this does is take opportunity away from modern firearm hunters. So we want to continue with status quo. My next comment is on the Selkirk public comment, DMUs 105 through 121. Of 158 comments, only 3 people agreed to the 9-day season. 64 people, or 40%, wanted APRs. 27 people, or 17%, were against the APRs. These comments were for all 7 GMUs. The NWWG was asking for just 1 GMU for a 6-year trial period for the APRs. In the summary of public comments received on the official comment period, below are the common themes identified from comments. 1, there are too many predators. 2, don't reduce the length of the late general whitetail deer season. 3, implement a 4-point APR for whitetail deer. And 4, reduce or eliminate antlerless harvest. With all the support for the APR, it makes me ask why the antler point restrictions didn't make it to the full commission for consideration for a trial period in just 1 GMU. That was all we were asking for. Thank you.
Thank you all for your comments today. Next, please.
Next will be Dale Maggart, followed by Marie Neumiller. Go ahead, Dale.
Good morning. Thank you for this opportunity. I'm probably just going to be banging the same thing around as Al was talking about. You know, all the time and effort and the cost that's been involved in this, and we get right back to where we started with the status quo. And it wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing, but a survey of the people of Northeast Washington that live, work, and recreate in this area have 90% plus saying that there is a problem with the management of our wildlife by WDFW. And if the trend continues, something's going to have to be done. And you've written the APR out of this next 3-year package, and I don't understand why. And some of the reasons Al mentioned already, you know, the common themes, too many predators, don't reduce the length of the late season, implement a 4-point APR. This is what the department says. There are 158 comments in this unit, this area up here. There were only 3 in favor of a 9-day season. There were 44 opposed to it. Surprise, you know, and implement APR, 64 people, 40% were for that. To put a shortened season out there with 93% of the hunters in WDFW's own survey are against shortened seasons, and that's what you guys promoted out there. It is an APR is the least objectionable of any of the options. And Al touched on it before. This APR is not to grow more mature bucks. That is the benefit of it. But what the APR, the main purpose for the APR is to allow what I call a teenager, he's an adolescent, a buck, you know, 1.5 years old. He's still wet behind the ears almost. It allows him to mature into an adult buck, a stronger, wiser, and heavier buck. And you asked the Washington hunter that hunts up here if they would accept a 4-point APR with the stipulations of what Al said about 1 GMU. Tell them that this would be for a trial period to be used in determining if it's a viable option for improving the hunter and deer hunters and hunter satisfaction. And if you want to help them make a knowledgeable decision, tell them that the fourth year of the APR that ended in 2014, the two GMUs with the APR in District 1 was 117 and 121, had the third highest and highest number one success rate of the seven units in the district. And it can be done now. And I have one other point that I'd like to make, and that has to do with this 10-year average and the 25% harvest line that is shown on each one of these graphs. That line should be an up and down. Every year, that 10-year average changes. And I cannot see that being a straight line. That straight line is based on this 10-year average. But last year, the 10-year average would have been different. So that line should be, you know, up and down. Every year, that line should change.
And my time, Dale.
That's not a proper, I guess, presentation of an average, a running average. Thank you for your time. I know you guys have got a lot on your shoulders, and it's I don't envy you at all. But thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments, Dale. Next, Nikki.
Next, we've got Marie Newmiller, and then last, we've got Rocky Ross. Go ahead, Marie.
Thank you. Good morning, commissioners. I want to start out by thanking the department for all of the hard work they do in trying to manage our very difficult, predator-rich northeastern region of the state. It gets pretty difficult to manage all the predators and the herds and hunter interests. The INWC wanted to extend our thanks to the department for removing the antler point restrictions recommendations for this area. We are happy to see that the department has decided to rule for hunter opportunity over trophy harvest. We prefer to have as much opportunity as possible within the biological guidelines that are being set by the surveys that are being done in our area. We are looking forward to seeing the predator prey study so that we can start to learn more about how the predators are affecting our herds in our area and how hunters can help with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Marie, for your comments. Okay, next and last, Nikki.
Rocky Ross. Go ahead, Rocky.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. Good morning, commissioners and Fish and Wildlife staff. I just have a couple of comments. First of all, I'd really like to thank you for walking back that initial proposal to shorten the season in Northeast Washington. You know, the data supports it, the hunter response supports it, and you know, I hunt public land exclusively, and I just really appreciate having the greatest opportunity I can to put some venison in the freezer. So my second comment actually is about the survey, and I don't want to get too far off track, so I'm just going to focus on the question about hunting season. I found that question to be a little bit like apples and oranges, because there were several issues, mostly having to do with either increasing or decreasing antlerless harvest or antlerless permits. And then the one question about the season length. So if you voted in favor of the changes in antlerless permits, which I'm totally in favor of, because it's a great way to help you manage your objectives, your population objectives. But if you voted in favor of that, you by default voted in favor of the shorter season, which I'm opposed to. So I really struggled with that. And I know you can qualify your answer by putting in a comment, which I did. But I had some issues with the comment box as well. So ultimately, when I was done with that particular question, I really wasn't sure how my answer was going to be interpreted. So I just wanted to point that out. And then lastly, like many other people have said, I really appreciate the time and effort you put into all of this, the hours that you put in, wading through all the information the data, the public comments. You know, it's a thankless job for all of you, the commissioners and Fish and Wildlife staff, because it's the epitome of not being able to satisfy everyone. There's always going to be somebody who disagrees with your decisions. Sometimes I disagree with your decisions. Sometimes I really disagree with your decisions, but I know you're doing the best you can. And I really, really do appreciate the effort that you put into this. So thank you very much.
Rocky, thank you for your comments. Okay. Any wrap-up comments from the commissioner on the deer agenda item? Okay. Brock, thank you for